From London, the National Broadcasting Company presents War Telescope, a review of the war week and a forecast of possible developments to come. War Telescope features John McVane of NBC's London staff, a veteran reporter of the European scene. For his regular Saturday report, we take you now to London.
This is John McVane in London. I've been talking today with a man who wears Polish, French, British, and American decorations. A fighter pilot who's been taking his vacation from the Polish Air Force by flying a P-47 Thunderbolt in an American 8th Air Force squadron. The story of his career, a career that's kept him fighting Germans since September 1st, 1939, is so interesting that I've brought him to tell you all about it. It's a saga of the air, in a way, the story of Poland at war with the Nazis. Captain Michael Gladich has the two highest Polish decorations for valor. The French gave him the Croix de Guerre with palms during the Battle of France. 102 operational missions with the RAF as a member of a famous Polish squadron won him the British Distinguished Flying Cross. Now he's blazing out a new phase of his great battle with the American Air Force. His newest ribbon is the American Air Medal for 25 operational flights that include the two big American bombing raids against Berlin. But Captain Gladich can tell you all about it himself. You were a regular officer in the Polish Air Force, weren't you, Captain?
Yes, and the day war broke out, I was flying a Polish PZL-11 fighter. We were attached to a bomber group, and our job was to protect the bomber's airfield. That meant being on the alert all day. We had many combats, and we believe we shut down quite a few German planes, but the German invasion armies kept us moving our airfields, and we had no intelligence set up that could confirm our victories.
You didn't have much of a chance because you were so outnumbered. So you escaped and joined the French Air Force. Where were you stationed before the Battle of France began?
Near Paris. And then on the 11th of May, 1940, we were moved, first south of Paris, then to the front after a few days. But it was the same story as Poland. We had to keep changing our fields as the Germans advanced. We were outnumbered all the time, and we were fighting many times a day.
Were your fields being bombed often?
Very often, but the worst thing was to lose our planes and crack-ups, or because of slight damage and have no replacement.
Had you any confirmed victories over the Luftwaffe?
We know we shut down many of them, but as in Poland, we had no intelligence organization to confirm them.
Now where were you at the time of the armistice?
At Rochefort. Some of us wanted to go to North Africa to continue the fight. Others wanted to go to England. I admit that in those days I didn't think England had a hope. Mm-hmm. On the first day after the armistice, we were ordered to go on reconnaissance over the advancing German columns. We caught their nearest columns and strafed them so heavily, we held up their advance for a while.
And how did you escape from France?
We had no gas left at the field, so we couldn't take our planes. We got aboard an English ship at La Palisse, the outer harbor. The Germans were close. We could hear their gunfire. The Polish infantry brigade was defending the town. They managed to get aboard our ship. The captain insisted on spending the night in the harbor, and the Germans came and bombed us to hell. It was the first time I had ever heard a whistling bomb, and I didn't like it. But we got a little of our own back. We had 40 machine guns, and we set them up on the ship. A Heinkel came over at first light of dawn to bomb us. We opened up with all 40 guns, and boy, we got him.
And then you came to England.
With only one shirt and no toothbrush. We formed two Polish squadrons, 302 and 303. Unfortunately, I missed most of the Battle of Britain because I was ill in hospital with food poisoning. In the spring of 1941, I joined 303 squadron. We were flying our 12 Spitfires over Boulogne one day, when it used to be dangerous around Boulogne.
Mm-hmm.
We suddenly found ourselves outnumbered.
Not very pleasant.
Well, we were fighting 12 separate duels. I found 7 were after me. I got 2, but the others got me. I was bleeding badly, and 3 or 4 miles from the English coast, I knew I wouldn't make it. The last thing I remember is approaching the coast. Then I went unconscious. I came to in the hospital. I'd always treated my ship like a lady. She landed herself, hit a couple of telegraph poles, and disintegrated. But she knew her way about England better than I did. She left me 200 yards from the general hospital. I fractured my skull and spent 9 months in the hospital.
When did you start combat flying again?
Oh, I rejoined my squadron, and for 2 months I went on non-operational flights and acted as squadron intelligence officer. They wanted to keep me as intelligence officer, and I wanted to fly, so I did both. I flew in combat, and then acted as intelligence officer after I landed. I began to get bored, though, so another officer and I declared a private war on Germans. We went saving.
That's a volunteer job, isn't it? It's said to be pretty dangerous.
We didn't think so. I found a good target, a camp of the gunners who manned the long-range German guns on the French coast.
What did you do to it?
Well, the first time, nothing. We left England too early, and it was still dark when we arrived. We couldn't find it. We did find a little factory near a town. We got some flashlight signals and thought they meant we should attack the factory. With two cannon and four machine guns and our Spitfires, boy, we really shot it out. Then we got in some cloud and found ourselves over the middle of Letouquet airfield with all the guns opening up on us. I was hit and flames started shooting over my cockpit. I said, "I've had it," to my wingman and told him to go home. I started over the channel. Suddenly, as dawn came, the flames disappeared. I reached base and found my exhaust pipes had been cut by cannon shells, and it was flames from the exhaust that I'd seen. Next day, we went out again. Four of us this time. I took along a few hand grenades.
Mm-hmm.
We got separated in cloud, but two of us reached the German camp at dawn. I dropped two of my hand grenades and woke the camp up. I knew the plan of the camp very well. It was surrounded by barbed wire, and to get to the slit trenches, the soldiers had to come through in one narrow entrance. I circled, and as the Germans piled out in their underwear, I met them at the entrance. My wingman and I got the whole crowd in just the right place. We made a mess of it.
What did you do then, get away?
Oh, no, we circled and came back. By that time, a lot of German light anti-aircraft guns were firing at us, and I got mad. They were giving us hell. You know, we were too low.
Mm.
My wingman and I each picked out a gun and fixed it. It took only a short burst. We came over the camp again. We could see no one except corpses, but the guns were still firing.
Mm.
We both made a pass and got two more guns. By this time, we were flying in and out of a big cloud of smoke and dust. We came back and made our third pass at the guns and got two more. I was hit. I could feel the plane stagger, but the engine kept running. I saw my wingman get another gun, the seventh, and he didn't come out of the cloud. I went back looking for him and called him, but couldn't find him or any sign of wreckage. That cooled me off a little. My canopy and side door were shot off, but I wasn't scratched.
It was lucky, and you got home safely?
Yes, but I got an official calling for the strafing. I spent a couple of more months in the hospital with complications from my head injury. Then I came back to the squadron and started more strafing.
What targets did you find? Did you go back to the camp?
Oh, no. I never went back. We used to attack locomotives, water towers, planes on the ground, troops, trucks, anything we could find that would bother the Germans. I kept flying until January of this year. Then they wanted to ground me, give me an office job, because they figured I should have a vacation from flying. I didn't like that. I wanted to fly. I tried everything. I even volunteered to go to Burma. But it was no use.
How did you get in with the Americans?
An American colonel had been attached to our squadron in 1942. He was a friend of my wing commander. The wing commander was also being given a rest from flying, and like me, he wanted to fly. We got acquainted with some American P-47 pilots when we were both resting up. One of our pilots was doing acrobatics over our fields when four P-47s jumped him. Another pilot and I jumped in our spits and went up and beat up the Americans. I mean, got on their tails. It was not hard because they'd never flown in operations and we were veterans. That is how we first became friends. Later, we visited them, explained some of the German tricks to them, and they even adopted our Polish flight formation. That was when the wing commander and I started flying P-47s with the Americans.
Well, how do you like the Thunderbolt in comparison with all the rest you've flown?
Oh, it's very good. The best I've ever flown in combat. I had a few hours on it and then started operations with the Americans. In all, I've done something like 25 missions with them. But the one I remember best is the time we were inside Germany escorting the American bombers. The fight began and developed down, fairly close to the ground. I didn't get the two Germans I was after, I suddenly found three Focke-Wulfs off at right angles to me and above. I tried to jump them, but they kept away. I then went right down to the deck among the trees. They followed, and that's what I wanted. A rat race developed. They were awfully smart.
Mm.
They kept shooting at me all the time. Finally, I got on the tail of one, but couldn't fire until from a left turn, he switched to a right turn right in front of me. He was a dead pigeon. But to shoot him, I had to straighten up, and the one plane that had kept above me put some holes in my wing. I started going home because my gas was running low. The two remaining Focke-Wulfs began to fly in formation with me. They must have thought I was out of gas because they beckoned me to land. They'd fired but couldn't hit me. I motioned okay and kept flying just ahead of them until we reached an airfield on my way home.
Well, what happened then?
Oh, I knew what to do. I gave the field a short burst. All the guns in the place opened up. The two Germans were flying about 10 yards behind me. Then the first shots landed right among the two German planes behind me. I didn't stay to see whether they were shot down. I hurried for home. My Thunderbolt ran out of gas when I reached England. The cloud was 10 tenths, and I couldn't see the ground. So I bailed out.
Mm.
I hit the stabilizer getting out, and it set me spinning. I tried to hold the tricks to stop the spin before I opened the parachute, but they didn't work. At last, I pulled the ripcord. The cords of my parachute were tangled, and I thought I'd had it when I shot out of the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
At the last minute, I managed to straighten the cords. I was over water, but the wind took me to land. I hurt my leg on landing and sat there until a couple of British Army officers came up. They were very suspicious and wouldn't believe I was Polish.
No.
They asked me about various things, and when I mentioned the London Blitz of 1940, they said, "Were you over London in 1940 and 1941? I said, "Yes, with my Polish fighter squadron." They didn't believe me to the end. Then they said, "Well, old boy, you disappointed us terribly. We hoped you were a German."
After 7 confirmed victories with the British and 4 with the Americans, are you ready now for a rest from flying?
Not at all. The Americans have given me my own P-47. I want to keep on flying with them. And next time anyone wants to ground me, I'll ask to go to Burma and fly with the Chinese Air Force. I don't like the desk jobs.
Well, I think you certainly proved that, Captain, today. And now we return you to the NBC newsroom in New York.
You've been listening to War Telescope. War Telescope is a weekly report on the war as seen from London by John McVane. Not only is War Telescope a review of the war, but it's a forecast of possible developments to come. However, today, John McVane, veteran NBC reporter in London, had as his guest in the studio Captain Michael Gladysh, Polish Air Force fighter. Captain Gladysh has fought not only with Polish fighter squadrons, but American and British squadrons as well. In the interview between Captain Gladysh and John McVane, the captain related his experiences as a fighter pilot. John McVane in War Telescope is presented each Saturday at the same time over most of these stations. This is the National Broadcasting Company.